Kia ora matua, Kim. Morena tātou, ngā mihi nui kia koutou, just a warm welcome to you all. I thought I'd wear a shirt for you this morning. The colour's resurrection green. Nah, I made that up. It's not true at all. I'll start with a lie. A good start. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. We celebrate that every day of our lives, but today is a special day where we especially acknowledge the resurrection of our Lord's. And this morning, my message is titled Wounded and Resurrected, and we'll get to that. But we're going to open up the scriptures. We're going to open up to John chapter 20. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to follow along. Otherwise, I've got some slides here. Here we go. Just open our hearts to hear scripture. Often we hear these things regularly and we can glance over them, but let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us deeply today through this beautiful literature that's been passed on to us, that's inspired, that's encouraged by you, God. We just pray that it would really speak to us today. Amen. From the NIV. John 20, verse 19. On the evening on that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and you have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Just a couple of things. We know from different testimonies in the Gospels that John Mark was the only one left at the cross, right? There's a few Marys and another lady. There's a bunch of ladies and John Mark at the cross. And if I was Jesus and I was standing there appearing through these locked doors, I probably wouldn't say, "Peace be with you." I'd probably say, "Where were you? Hey. Hey, guys. Thanks for being there." But funny, our Lord, he stands in front of these guys who have kind of all betrayed him in one sense, and he blesses them. It's amazing, eh? He blesses them. "Peace be with you." Now, Thomas also, he gets a bit of a bad rap in Scripture. We often call him Doubting Thomas. Poor Thomas. Actually, Thomas is the man. And the thing is that, Thomas says, "Unless I stick my hands in his side," which is a bit gross, "but unless I see, I will not believe." Now, apparently back in those days, that tombs were raided and things could happen, theft and all sorts of stuff. So Thomas is kind of, he wants to see for himself. I'm not taking the words of these dudes. I want to see for myself. Now, Thomas, we say, "Oh, that's Doubting Thomas," but maybe Thomas just wants to know. Because apparently Thomas was the first one to go into India and the subcontinent and take the gospel. So Thomas is not a coward. He's the man. But we give him a bit of grief. But here's my message this morning. I'm going to try and dodge the easel and not bump into it. So this is a little bit different because the focus is not my head or my face. The focus is Christ. And so we're going to do that. So I heard a rumor that a few years ago my friend had a shiny toy in his garage. Just a rumor. but I wanted to see it for myself. My friend and his father, they just had sold their business, and they made quite the penny. And so my friend's dad bought a few toys, right? And I heard that he'd given one to his son. So I thought that was pretty cool. And John Lamerson, who's a friend of mine in Dannyverk, he calls me a magpie because I like shiny things. And I heard that my friend had a shiny something in his garage. So being a magpie, I was automatically intrigued. So we were living in Dannyverk, and we tripped back to Marston a couple of times and went to go see my friend, but he wasn't home. But I looked in his garage just in case, because I'm a magpie, but there was nothing there. But the second time I went back to Marston to go see him, he was home, and there was something special in his garage, and this is what was there. This is Kim Bonnevie's car. It's a 2016 Ferrari F12 Berlinetta. Not your average car you see on the road. You often see a few Toyotas, Hyundais. This is a bit rare. And this was what I was hoping for to see in his garage. V12, 730 horsepower, 0 to 100 in over 3 seconds. Pretty cheap at $500,000. And so I said to my friend, hey, take me for a drive. You have to take me for a drive. So he did. And to quote one of my favorite movies, Spaceballs, he drove me at ludicrous speed. And so it was quite choice. And then he pulls over and he says, Ben, your turn. All the words you want to hear from your mate. Have a spin. So I did. And I gave it death. And I didn't give him any petrol money. But I tried to stay under 100 kilometers. It was pretty hard in a car like that. But this guy is he's a really great, generous guy, my friend. And he would drive this Ferrari around in a singlet, ripped pants, and gumboots. Okay, that's the kind of dude he is. So it's not the normal thing. You don't normally associate gumboots and Ferrari, okay? Now, I just want you to imagine this. Let's say my friend's dad went to the Ferrari dealership. He's got a whole bunch of money in his pocket, probably not that quite much money in his pocket, but he wants to buy himself a little treat, and he sees this beautiful car, and he says, hey, this car looks good, but I'll take it, but could you grab a sledgehammer and throw a few dents in it for me? At that point, the salesperson would probably call security and tell security to get this crazy person off the property, right? So not many people would go to a Ferrari dealership and say, it's too shiny, need to dull it down a bit. You need to put a few dents and holes in it. That's what I'd like you to do. And that sounds a bit ludicrous to us, but this is a picture of the disciples having a good look at Jesus' wounds. The resurrected Jesus, he is like the Ferrari of humanity, right? The best. The greatest human being of all time. Yet he comes back with a few dents. He's resurrected, right? He has this new body. You can touch him. He can eat. He's not a ghost. And he has a few holes in him. Why? Why? Why would you do that? Was it just for Thomas's sake? Thomas, mate, you weren't here the first time, so you know that I'm the Christ, you can put your fingers in my side. Was it just for Thomas? Or was Jesus trying to say something different? Is there something deeper to the message that Jesus is trying to say in this resurrected state? I think he is. And I heard this great message from a guy called Father Richard Rohr, who's a Catholic priest. And he says this about this story. It is possible to be wounded and resurrected at the same time. And that is all that my message is this morning. It's not by his wounds we are healed. We are through Jesus' wounds we are healed. And Jesus coming back, the resurrected Messiah, he's coming back with holes in his side. I think he's trying to tell humanity something quite profound, that we can be wounded, yet we are resurrected at the same time. And though we are resurrected and we have the glory of God on us, we have our wounds. It's both. It's life and death. And if there's anything that we can encourage us this morning, guys, is that we are called into the life of God. We are called into his wholeness, his beauty, his glory. We are healed. We have all these wonderful things that God gives us, yet we still carry a few wounds. We still carry a few battle scars. We still sin. We still do things that are against, contrary to maybe what God says. But even though he calls us into his resurrection, what that can mean for us is this, that we can enter humanity, enter our world with this resurrection hope, addressing the wounds of our society. Because our society has a lot of wounds. Yet where those wounds are, we can go, there is resurrection life. You are called to resurrection life. Each of us are called to resurrection life, even though we're a little bit wounded. Even though we carry some scars. Even though we may not be all that we should be all the time, that's the call to us. We are wounded and resurrected at the same time. One day, Jesus is going to take us home. Whenever, let's not get too worried about when that happens. And one day we'll be fully, like a brand new Ferrari, we'll be fully kitted out. We won't have any dents. We'll be in resurrected bodies. We'll be glorious, whatever that looks like. Yet, for the meantime, we are Ferraris, yet we've got a few dents. So we can go into our workplaces and to our families, and we can boast in the goodness of God, but we don't have to have it all together, because Jesus is the one who has it all together. And the one who has it all together comes back with a few wounds. One of the things that's my last slide, and we're going to worship, and we're going to sit in that. Bernie, could you just jump up on stage, please? It'd be great. And one day we'll have a resurrected body, and we won't have any wounds. But the thing is, we celebrate the kingdom is now, but not fully yet. And we don't just wait for God to come and take us home, which is that's part of it. But we have this thing called, which N.T. Wright calls, we have life before, life after death. Life before, life after death. Guys, as Bernie sings, as the team just play a little bit in the background, let's just sit in the fact that, let's just offer ourselves afresh to the living God. Let's offer our wounds to him, because he wants to resurrect us. We are resurrected. And we can't boast, because it's not all about us. It's actually because Jesus has addressing and doing something good in our lives. We celebrate that. Jesus, we just want to thank you this morning that you are the risen God. You're not a God that's far off. You're not a God that doesn't know what it's like to feel wounded. You are the God who's deeply wounded, and by your wounds we are healed. I just want you to offer your hands up to God. You might just want to open your hands or something, or just make a little submission to God to offer up yourself unto him afresh. Offer him your brokenness. Offer him the things you might be struggling with, because God wants to speak resurrection life into those things. We celebrate today the resurrected God, the God who was dead but is now alive. We celebrate the fact that God didn't leave us alone. And though he came back and told everything the disciples that what he was up to, they still feared, and yet he appears resurrected with his wounds and says, peace be with you. And that is the call to Christ this morning, that Jesus would say to each of us, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And just where you are, we're going to stand, and we're just going to sing Such an Awesome God. Just stand to our feet, and we're going to sing and worship and honor God for his goodness.